Once upon a time, it's the memory. It's like synergy. Life the hardest teacher y'all could ever get to master. Get a test first, then y'all get that lesson after. Steve's never stressing them G's to freeze egos. Please, I just get them in threes like the Migos.
Here's three reasons why you should hire a Sync agent. Number one, less competition. Sync licensing companies normally have thousands of artists, but Sync agents normally 30 to 50, which increases your chances of being heard as an artist. Number two, bigger payouts. Since there's less competition, your music is more exclusive, which increases the value of your songs. Number three, access. Sync agents have less artists, which makes it easier to reach them if you have issues or opportunities. Make sure to follow for more music licensing tips. This is dope. This is a fire episode because, well, you know, before we get into that, we already know what it is, man. The word of the day.
What's the word of the day today?
All right, y'all know what it is, man. So every show, we started off with the word of the day. It's kind of like church in a way, right? Something motivational to get y'all through y'all days, man. So this one right here is entitled, all right? In a society that has you counting money, don't forget to count your blessings. I'm going to say it again. In a society that constantly has you counting money, don't forget to count your blessings. I know a lot of times people get caught up in the rat race. They stressed out. They trying to make a way for themselves and their family. And they always thinking about money. You know what I'm saying? But ultimately, don't forget to count your blessings. Like, if you're alive, you got good health, your fingers work, right? You're not in a wheelchair, your limbs work. You blessed. It might not seem like it, but sometimes the little things equate to the big things. And when you got the gift of life, you can always change your situation, right? So your current situation is never indicative of your final destination. So keep that mental fortitude. Don't get down in a rut. You know, don't feel like, you know, I know sometimes they say, you know, don't let social media fool you because everybody's not posting their failures. So a lot of times it's like you might see people posting. It's like, damn, that person got another placement. And you still ain't getting nothing. You know, you might have just one for the year and you might feel a type of way, but don't compare your race to everybody else's race. You know, count your blessings. You are blessed. You are fortunate. And you can definitely elevate to the next level. And that is the word of the day.
Facts. Just run your own race. Because a lot of people out here, like you said, with social media, it's like they always talking about, you know, the highs and they got this, this, that, and the third. But they always conveniently omit the bad parts or the parts that's not so sexy. So just, you know, don't even trip about, you know, all the noise. Just do you. Do you.
Facts. Run your own race, man. Run your own race. That's key, man. So, you know, I'm feeling good, Jay. I'm feeling good, man, because today's episode, we're going to talk about the different types of sync opportunities, sync agents that musicians can utilize in terms of getting their music heard. Because a lot of times we get a lot of messages, a lot of DMs, you know, how can I get my music in TV and film? So this is the episode where we really break down the different types of opportunities that are available. So, you know, we can set it off, man. Like, I guess, you know, you want to tell them a little bit about what a music library is, Jay, for the people that might not know?
Yeah, for sure. I would say music libraries are companies that basically are a library and they have a large quantity of music, or sometimes it's just very boutique and they have a small roster of artists. But basically music libraries, what they do is they have artists that they sign, whether that's a non-exclusive deal or exclusive deal or semi-exclusive, whatever it may be, and they'll have those songs, and their job is basically every day they pitch to different TV shows, films, whatever the opportunity is. Their job is to pitch, and most of the time they will get a percentage of it. It varies from case to case, but once they get the placement, that's it, you know. And then, you know, about 9 months later, you know, once you get your BMI ASCAP check, you'll get the royalties and you will be good.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, like Jay said, you know, those music licensing libraries, that's essentially what they do. It's like, you know, it's a library full of music. They categorize it by genre. So if you're a hip-hop artist, then you'll be under the hip-hop category. They also have moods within that, subgenres. So if you do trap, they got aggressive, they got party, they got all these different things. So when a user, whether it's someone who's just a YouTuber or whether it's a music supervisor looking for music, this is why metadata and information is so important, because they type that into the search bar. So if I'm doing a Coca-Cola commercial and I want an upbeat, fun hip-hop song, you know, I might type in like Will Smith vibe. And within that, it'll have all these songs that are more or less happy, you know, not aggressive. So that's what music license libraries do. You know, it's pretty much a one-stop shop where they can find music that they need for artists. And I think music libraries are an easier way for a lot of musicians to start out, to get their music out there. They're not as exclusive. Some of them can be a little more selective, but for the most part, a lot of them are just pretty much willing to hear you out, listen to your demo, and if they like it, they'll add it to the library. So, I mean, that's essentially what it is for people that are not too familiar, you know, with that term, because, you know, we try to kind of break things down just generally for people, because we know we got all types of musicians. Some musicians are more advanced than others, so they might know about this stuff. There might be others that don't. So we're going to cover everything, whether for basics or, you know, just for the next level. So that's covering that aspect of it. Next up, there are sync agents. So, Jay, you want to break down, like, the difference between a sync agent and, like, a music licensing library?
Yeah, for sure. I would say a music library, they just have, you know, the roster of artists. And like you said, they have sometimes, you know, subgenres that they focus on, whether that's rock, trap, classical, whatever it may be. But the actual sync agent is pretty much one individual, and their job is just to pitch the music themselves.
A sync agent essentially is someone who I for me personally, because my first deal was with a sync agent, so I was blessed in that regard, where it's like I actually had an agent that really had a lot of viable relationships, and I still have them to this day, actually, where, you know, they pitch your music intentionally. They have built-in relationships with people. So like I always say, your network is your net worth. So having a sync agent hits different, because these are people who, they've been in the industry, they have these connections. So it's not contingent upon a music supervisor pulling up a website and just shooting a shot in the dark to say, all right, I want a fun hip-hop record. It's like, no, Bob knows Tim, and Tim knows Jake, who works for Interscope, and they need this record, and based on that relationship, they're able to fast track you. So that's the difference between a sync agent, because they're basically bosses. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to facilitate those conversations. Just think of it, it's the equivalent of having like an amazing manager, right? Like, you are on their roster, and excellent managers have a commonality between them, because they don't have a roster of 100 artists, right? Like, dynamic managers, they're going to manage a small pool of talent, because they know that these are the artists that they can actually pour into. And that's the deal. At the end of the day, it's like, you know, the agent can benefit you in that way. Like, you know, once your music reaches a certain level, a certain standard, a certain quality, they're able to really push your music forward to the right people. So that's the difference between the two. You know, in a nutshell, like, you know, not getting too deep, not getting too intricate. We could do that in other episodes, but we're just kind of just giving you a...
Yeah, just the basics, nothing too complex, just something super simple for you to digest. That's it.
Absolutely. And like we always say, Google is your best friend. So you can Google sync music licensing libraries. You can Google sync agents, and you can see the fundamental differences. You could also see who's looking for talent, who's not. And then the third thing that we would say, because there's good in all of these things, but then there's also cons too, right? So the good is that, you know, you have people working on your behalf for you. The cons sometimes can be, well, they do take a percentage, right? So you have to understand that no one's going to do something for nothing. So they're not going to work for free. They're going to need a percentage. So it just boils down to how much of that percentage are you willing to negotiate to have this person do this work on your behalf. So, you know, they do take a percentage. Now, lastly, if you're the type of artist that says, nah, I don't want nobody taking none of my money, I want all my money for myself, you do have the opportunity to do it all on your own, right? There are artists that do that independently, that shop their music. So, Jay, you want to talk about that a bit? Like, those type of artists that choose to do that?
And that's the thing with me. Like, I pretty much approach music pretty much very similar to, like, the stock market and investing in general. Like, I have some of my music in a number of different music libraries, whether that's non-exclusive, exclusive, semi-exclusive, but then I also have some sync agents. And then I also pitch a lot myself as well. But the thing with me is, like, I'm doing a whole lot of other things outside of music. And it's only but so many hours in the day. So it's like, I want to work smarter, not harder. So it's like, yes, I do have some, you know, material that I pitch myself, but I'm not always pitching that every single day. So I do have other people, whether that's in the libraries, the agents, whomever that may be, that's going to do that 24/7. That's their job. So it's like, yes, I am perfectly fine with splitting a percentage with them, because I would rather have a percentage of something versus 100% of nothing. So it's like, it makes sense. It just makes sense. And it's like, why not have all my eggs in one basket? So it's like, we just spreading it out. That's it. And then when it's time for me, you know, if I run into an opportunity where it's like, hey, we need music for this and that, you know, this, that, and the third, and is it cleared, and is it not with any music libraries or anything, that's when the music that I have 100% for myself, I just go all in and I just give those songs away that I pitch, you know, for myself. So it's pretty much just spreading it out. You know, don't always have your eggs in one basket.
Absolutely. I agree with you 110%, man. And, you know, that's pretty much how I've approached my career, too. Like, I have different agents for different things. Like, you have some agents that are just excellent at getting your music in video games. So, like you said, and when we talk about financial literacy for music, this is what we mean. Thinking of it like investing. If anybody's business savvy when it comes to investing, any financial broker will tell you, you have to diversify your portfolio. Why? Because if one stock is underperforming, then you got other ones that can carry the load. And that's the same thing with your music catalog. You got to treat it like investing. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't put them all in one company, because people fail you, you know, and no fault of their own. It's just nobody's perfect. We're not perfect. They're not perfect. You're not perfect. Stuff happens. So what you can do is facilitate a business strategy to try to make sure, all right, well, you know what? I got 10 songs in this sync library. They didn't really have a good year, but I got 10 in this other one that did. Then I got 5 with this guy over here who pitches for video games. He did good. So you got to keep it diverse. You know, you got to keep it diverse. So I'm a firm believer. You got to give to get. And I have no problem doing splits with my agents and all these other people, because they pay me very well. And that's the name of the game, right? You know, now I am aware that there are artists that they primarily want to do it on their own. It's a lot of work. You know, I wouldn't sugarcoat that. It's a lot of work. It's very time consuming. And for people like myself and Jay, and maybe yourself too, if you guys are extremely busy, or you females out there are busy and you're trying to get things done, you might not necessarily have the time to sit up there and try to pitch all these music supervisors. Because the reality is they're very busy and they already have pre-existing relationships. So let's call a spade. You know, if they already have these relationships, they don't want to take a chance on someone who they don't know you from a hole in the wall. They don't know if your music is properly cleared, if you have samples, if you don't have samples, you know, if you have co-writers that might not be cool with the setup. So it's just sometimes too many hoops to jump through in that regard. So, you know, I say there's never one size fits all, and just always do your due diligence in what would work best for you in your situation. And like I said, Google is your best friend. Google sync agents, Google music licensing companies, Google artists that have had success doing it on their own. And then you make that fundamental decision for yourself.
The knowledge is out there. You just got to actually, you know, put in the time and effort to learn.
Definitely. Definitely, man. You know, and what I will say, as the podcast progresses, we'll have episodes where we do talk about different sync libraries. We never co-sign a particular agency or company because, you know, it's never one size fits all. So, you know, I wouldn't tell an artist that a library would be good for them, because maybe you do R&B and their specialty is hip hop, right? So artists that are successful doing hip hop with that company, you might fail as an R&B artist over there. No fault of your own. It's just that's not the right fit for you. So all we do is equip y'all with the tools and the knowledge. Then you go out and you apply for yourself. You know, we give you the hammer, we give you the screwdriver, and you go build a shed for yourself.
Yeah, and what works, you know, for me or for Cal might not work for you, or vice versa. So it's just, we're just going to give you all the information. That's it. And then at, you know, other episodes, we'll go into like the different types of deals, whether that's non-exclusive, exclusive, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.